Expectations. My name is Brandy Rose, here with my wonderful partner, Hales Bassing.
Hello.
We are here bringing you another small town story from a really good friend of ours. I haven't known her as long as Haley has, but she has become a very special person to me, and I'm excited for her to share some of her journey and her experiences with you here today.
It's a good episode.
It is a good one. More on who she is in just a second. First, we want to encourage you and really just kind of pressure you a little bit to go and like us and rate and review this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on, whether it's on the YouTubes. That's right. You can listen on YouTube, or it's on Apple Podcasts or any kind of Android podcast app that you have. You should like and review this episode. Because it really just makes it a lot easier for folks to find it in the future. And that's really what we want, is for everything to be easy peasy, right?
Lemon squeezy.
So go and do that. Also, follow us on all social media. We are on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And if you are somebody who would just rather go and listen online, you can always send people to radbrandy.com. That has a full list of all of our episodes, along with lots of photos from that person's life journey.
Yeah.
There's some really cool photos that we post, too. So it's pretty cool. Go check us out, radbrandy.com. If you would like to be on this wonderful little podcast, you can email us at smalltownpodcast@yahoo.com. Just let us know that you're interested in being on the show, and we will absolutely make that happen. We have a kind of a cool lineup happening in June. We have our episodes lined up for June, and we are stoked for those stories that are coming. Mm-hmm. Also for today's story, of course. But you can be a part of that lineup just by emailing us or texting us or calling us or whatever, however you know us.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think that you probably know somebody who you think would be perfect for this podcast.
Yep.
So send them our way. Tell them to get a hold of us, and we will call them and get them on the phone and record that way if we have to.
Yeah.
We want people to tell their stories.
And we just redid the podcast room, what we call the podcast room in our house.
Yeah.
We cleaned some stuff out.
It looks so cool now.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Good energy.
I know. Got rid of a stupid bed that was just a bed that was not used at all, and it was just collecting crap on it. So now it's real organized, and there's still a couple boxes that I need to kind of sift through. And
I'm a hoarder.
Yeah, but we can donate a lot of that stuff, and you'll get over it.
Let's use social media to do that.
Nice little segue, Haley. All right. So today we want to highlight a community. Every week we highlight a community. And today that community is social media. We want to highlight what that means in people's lives and talk about just a little, kind of some of the things that we've experienced recently, very specifically today. my sister and her boyfriend are coming over to our house, and they're doing yard work for us. We're paying them for the summer to come over and just kind of take care of our yard. And so they show up very, very early this morning with a dog. A ginormous Rottweiler dog.
Huge boy dog.
And Haley doesn't like boys very much. Everybody knows that.
Is that because it's Pride Month?
Well, maybe.
Did you just make a pride joke?
No, but we don't have any boy animals except for Vega, and you really didn't have a lot of choice in that one.
No. Plus, he's not very boy-y.
He didn't know how to be a pet until recently.
Yeah.
So now he's wonderful.
So we have this dog who's drooling and panting all over everything.
So it's this big, giant Rottweiler. P.S. This is the most sweetest, gentle, kindest Rottweiler, just big dog that I think I've encountered in a very long time. He's so stinking sweet.
Yeah.
So instantly, my sister, at way too early o'clock this morning, is taking photos of this dog, and she goes and she posts it on social media. And this particular post, I'm going to go to it right now. As of this afternoon, it has 106 shares. It's been shared 106 times, and she posted it at 8 hours ago. So what is that?
7:30 this morning.
106 shares for this dog. And which really just speaks to the power of social media. We haven't found his owner yet. But he's a dog that's loved. He's healthy. He's kind. He's trained. And so somebody loves him. And I really just think because of the power of social media, 106 shares in just 8 hours, this dog is going to be found. And it really just speaks volumes to the community that is Facebook and social media in general.
It's neat because you guys took the dog for a walk because you thought maybe it belonged to this house. And you talked to some people and they were like, oh, yeah, we saw that post.
Yeah. Some lady was like, oh, yeah, I saw this dog on the internet. I was like,
yeah, we didn't know.
That's weird.
It's cool.
Yeah, I had no idea who this lady was. And she saw it in one of those 106 shares.
Yeah.
One of those people was her friend.
It's neat to think, too, though, that people don't share, you know, small town expectation posts, but they would share this missing dog. So I think it's...
No shame.
It's community.
Just saying. So I'm just kind of chilling this afternoon and I'm just looking through Facebook and I see a post from one of my friends and we're not going to say anybody's names for just because we don't know if they want us telling the story, but I think that this just again speaks power to social media and the community that it is. So this person posts something about how people that really know her well know that she's not an emotional person. She's not somebody that oftentimes asks for help or anything like that. But she's talking about how lonely she is and how she just needs some affection.
Yeah.
And she's sitting at urgent care. She's sitting at the doctor's office because she's very sick. And people in her friend community, in her Facebook community, and people who she's really close with, see this post and instantly jump to helping her and making sure that she knows that she's loved and that they care about her.
Yeah.
And one of them literally went and sat in the parking lot. She's like, I'm not going to go inside because there's sick people inside, but I'm going to go and I'm going to sit in the parking lot and I'm just going to make sure that she knows that I'm here to support her and love her and help her, you know, when she walks out of those doors. And then another person was like, hey, it looks like that person's on it, but I just want you to know that I'm here too. And cool. You know what I mean? And yeah. I just think, and I'm looking at this post, it has 22 comments and it's a lot of people just being like, hey, we really care about you. We love you. We hope you feel better. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Again, like, man, people oftentimes, you know, social media kind of gets a bad rap because it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. People can say really nasty things because there's some sort of courage that happens behind a keyboard. But then in those kind of beautiful moments of somebody reaching out and loving and helping somebody else because of a post, I mean, I just think that's cool.
It's powerful.
Yeah. I recently just saw on social media a couple that I am really close to. I used to be really close to them. And then life things happen. And they were recently in an accident and in the hospital. And somebody made a GoFundMe and I donated to their GoFundMe because I really care about them, number one. But had I not been friends with them on social media, I never would have known that happened to them. Yeah. And I've texted them a couple of times and been like, hey, like, are you guys okay? You know, that kind of thing. Because of social media, I knew that happened and I was able to reach out to them and just say, hey, thinking about you a little extra now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just cool.
It is cool. And it's cool when people use social media in that way. I tend to use it just as fun, like, look what we're doing, that kind of stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think people know our dogs on a whole different level.
It's very true. Very on a whole odd.
I actually really love that people feel like they know our dogs so well.
Yeah.
This was probably like, I don't know, a long time ago. Somebody texted me and said, hey, Brandy, are you and Haley okay? I haven't seen any pictures of you guys lately. And I was like, hey, we need to post a picture because people think we broke up.
That's silly.
And he was totally serious because we had posted, and then just kind of chilled for a while for whatever reason. I don't even know what was happening. And he was like, hey, I'm worried about you.
It's silly.
That is silly, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we do follow people's journeys and people's lives a little bit. And it's just, it can be a weapon, but it can also be a really, really cool, magical thing.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty much one of the biggest ways that we use to advertise stuff, like the summer theater show.
Yeah.
I mean, we're waiting on that. And it's just because you, through Facebook, really, is pretty much the main social media I use. But it's really easy to be like, hey, this is what I'm involved in, to those people that I'm friends with that don't necessarily know me on any kind of different level, like the custodian at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're Facebook friends. And so she's able to see those things that's going on in my life, and I'm able to see hers too.
And whenever you see her, you're able to just have that extra little personable interaction with her.
Yeah.
It's cool. I like it. I love social media. I know that some people don't, and I respect those things, and I respect those ideas and everything, but I am a person who does really love social media and loves the power of social media.
Yeah.
So that's the community that we are highlighting this week. And, you know, Haley very affectionately said nobody ever shares salt on posts. Maybe that's the thing that you do for this episode. Like us. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Facebook. We're on Twitter. We don't tweet, but we're there. You can tag us. And then Instagram. And, of course, always follow us at radbrandy.com just to give those plugs. One more time.
Rad Brandy with an I.
Rad Brandy with an I. Have people been spelling it wrong?
Not that I've heard, but
okay.
I could see how there's a confusion there.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So you know, we're highlighting community of social media, and here's a person that I know on a certain level because of what she posts on social media. And that's one of the things we talk about in this conversation is her journey in fitness and hiking, and it's because I see her photos from her hikes all the time.
Yeah.
And so again, that's the power of it. But today's guest is I don't even know the words to describe her. She's an incredible woman.
Yeah.
And her name is Shauna Reeves. She is somebody who's been in Haley's life for a while, mine more recently, and I've been able just to kind of be in little moments with her, and she is an incredibly intelligent woman. She is strong. She's brilliant, really.
Yeah.
You know?
She's always just positive, and she's
the very most positive person.
Sees things from a different view, and
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. So I'm excited to bring you her journey, to bring you her story and her journey today. Here is Shauna Reeves on Small Town Expectations.
She got 4 feet on the ground and she's burning it down. Oh, she got her head in the clouds and she's not backing down.
Hey, everyone. I am sitting here with my good friend, Shauna Reeves.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone.
So just a little bit about Shauna. So Haley and I have been asking you to be on this podcast for way too long. And here you are.
Here I am.
And so we have been just sitting here probably for the last 15 minutes or so talking about all of the craziness that's happening in our life, mm-hmm. and all of the yard work that we're doing and cleaning our houses and everything. And so I just really genuinely thank you so much for doing this.
It's my pleasure.
So I'm stoked to.
What busy people do, right?
Yes. Also, I mentioned I was like, I know little things about you, but I don't know very much. And so I think that's something that I'm really looking forward to, is just hearing more specifically about where you come from and that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Actually, one of the reasons I said yes is I'm impressed by your passion, and I'm impressed that you do this and
cool.
that you've persevered, and I've watched the evolution of this.
So. Yes. Oh, and it's gotten so much better. So there's that too. Cool.
Good for you.
Thank you
for being creative and following your passion.
Cool. Well, thank you for saying that. So if you, do you want to just start off like telling us about your childhood?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I am, in fact, we were just having dinner the other night and we were laughing about the fact that I'm an 80s baby. Mm-hmm. So I was born in 1980. I've lived in Farmington most of my life. I was born actually in Durango, Colorado. But it was an overnight thing, so yeah. I never lived there.
So you were just born at the hospital. I feel like lots of people in this area are just born at the hospital and then they come home.
Yeah, it is true. It's so confusing to people. They're like, what? Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the hospital here was busy or I have no idea. But
I think people choose that, right?
They have to.
Yeah.
So there I was, born in Colorado, but I lived here. So I am a split family baby. Mm-hmm. Both my parents they were divorced and remarried by the time I was born, so... we weren't really well off growing up here. I lived in two different mobile homes, one off of, you know where the old American fences used to be?
Yeah.
Out like past like Farmington or maybe like.
No, it's still there.
Is it still there?
Yeah. It's, cause we take our dogs to the dog park right there by it.
Okay.
Yeah. So you turn just like, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So
up that street off of McKenzie, I lived in a little mobile home there. And then my dad lived over in the south side by Sycamore Park off of Pima Street.
Cool.
So that's where I got my start.
Okay.
And, just kind of a modest family upbringing. Went to school at Country Club Elementary. Mm-hmm. And then I went to school for Heights 1 year. That was back before middle school. So I was a junior high kid. Seventh grade at Heights. And then Mesa View opened up and it shuffled over there. And then I'm a 99 graduate of FHS. So we were the last class before PV opened. We had like 506 people walk. That's insane.
That is a lot.
It was a long graduation.
That's why they had to build another high school because graduations were so long.
Totally. It totally was. So that was new. I left in 99 and I never came back to Farmington. In fact, I was definitely one of those kids. I'm like, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never coming back here.
Yeah.
And so I was really surprised when I moved back to see how well developed PV was. And it was just interesting. But no, I went off to college for 4 years and stayed a fifth year there and was living a very happy life before I moved back here in 04. So.
Cool. Yeah, and if PV had been open, you would have gone to PV.
Probably, yeah. Based on where my zoning was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what kind of stuff did you do in high school?
I was a busy kid. I was a lifeguard. I was a swimmer. Mm-hmm. I had morning practice and evening practice and then just, you know, regular old high school kid stuff.
Cool.
So,
were you a good swimmer? Like, did you win tournaments and things like that?
Sure, yeah. That's so funny to ask me that. There's actually this standing record at the Aquatic Center that hasn't been broken since 98.
Shut up.
Yeah, I know.
I did not even know that about you.
I try not to tell people about that. In fact, my boss, Carol May, when she hired me, she used to tell people, and I'm like, let's not talk about that. But it still stands, so I'm waiting to see when someone breaks it.
Okay, so what is it?
It's the 200 freestyle record.
Nice.
Yeah, it's under 2 minutes, and so.
When did you set that?
1998.
Wow. That's amazing. Do you remember what it is?
It's like 158 something.
Nice. I don't know anything about swimming, but so apparently that's super fast.
It was for that age, yeah. It was crazy. We had a pretty good team back then, but that record still stands. It makes me laugh every time I go over there.
Cool. Do you still swim?
You know, I used to. When I moved back to Farmington, I was the aquatics director over all of the aquatics facilities in 2004. And I would try to swim, but it just didn't work. Like, I'd be in the water and someone would be like, the water's too cold, the locker rooms are dirty, or, oh my gosh, my kid loves swimming lessons. And so I really couldn't swim. And so I just stopped swimming. So I swim every now and then, but I'm a totally different person in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a second love of mine that I forget that I have. So when I'm in the water, it feels like I've kind of come home.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So whenever you left Farmington and you moved away, where did you go?
Well, I went down to New Mexico State for college. And it's so funny when I talk about those times, I tell everyone, I wish that I had, when I was in high school, I had a very high GPA. I mean, I was kind of sassy and tomboyish and ornery. But I had great grades. So I very rarely went and saw a guidance counselor or anything like that. But I didn't know a dang thing about college. Nobody in my family had ever graduated from high school before. And so I honestly, you don't think about coming from a small town like ours. You don't think about what you can do. I knew big things, doctor, lawyer, teacher, nurse. And I'm like, well, I can't afford to be in school for 15 years to be a doctor. So I guess I'll be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked teaching. And really I picked it because I didn't know what else to pick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was really interesting. Even though I had academics, I didn't know what the heck I wanted to be. I just knew that I needed, I had both an athletic and academic scholarship offer for full ride.
So to lots of places.
I did. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I went down to Texas A&M and checked out that place. And, you know, coming from a small town, I got there. I'm like, oh God, this is so big.
Mm-hmm.
I am. And I was trying to decide, you know, do you want to be a big fish in a small pond or a little fish in a big pond?
Mm-hmm.
And, the athletics there were so much more than they were here, but it was also bigger and scarier. And I'm like, it didn't feel right. And then I had an offer from Greeley, Colorado, UNC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a D2 school at the time. And I just didn't feel like I fit there. And then I had an offer at ASU. And that was where I was putting all my eggs in that basket. I was super excited for that recruiting trip. I got there and I felt like a total fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no pun intended with all these ridiculous water things. But it was just, I felt like I did not have the money to attend there.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like everyone was driving Jettas and I'm like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So I had put off going down to New Mexico State. They contacted me several times and I knew that coach down there because growing up from the age of 10 all the way through, I was 18, in the summers I would go up to the Air Force Academy and train with the cadets up there.
Mm-hmm.
It started out attending a camp, a swimming camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just turned into going there and training and demonstrating the stroke techniques and having an opportunity to train at altitude.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't really want to go to New Mexico State. I wanted to get out of Farmington. I wanted to get out of New Mexico. But when I went down to New Mexico State, I was like, oh, my heart is home. It was flip-flops and jeans. People were super friendly down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew. And I was just paranoid and anxious before them. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I didn't like Texas. I didn't like Arizona. Colorado wasn't doing it for me. What am I going to do? And so I was so happy when I decided on New Mexico State.
Good.
And my years there were awesome.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
Wait, can you imagine? Sometimes I think about, like, when I had graduated high school, if I had chosen all of those things that I was putting my eggs in, like those baskets, you know what I mean? Like if I had gone those places, like my life would look totally different. And I don't know that it would be better. It would just be so much different. You know? And I think about that because, you know, this is about growing up in a small town. For me, growing up here in Farmington and then staying here and figuring out my life and moving to Texas and it was a smaller town that I moved to in Texas. I think about all of those things. Had I chose to go to California or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. just
how different
I would be mm-hmm. and how good it is that I am who I am. Like mm-hmm. I'm proud of the person that I am. So I think about that some stuff, not often, but every once in a while,
yeah,
you know,
it's something in the air that will come and make mm-hmm. it nostalgic and you'll look and think, who would I have been if I had done that?
Yeah.
If I had taken that path.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about you learn a lot from your experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why you are so successful now as, you know, as Shauna Reeves and your position now and all of those things. And I don't know. I want to hear more about that. But so you came back for a year. You thought you were going to be back for a year. And then what did you think you were going to do?
I don't know. So when I graduated from NMSU, in college, I took 18 credit hours. I swam 30 hours a week, and then I worked about 15 hours. So, mm-hmm. I mean, those 4 years just really flew by, and I did get my degree. My undergrad is in secondary education. So basically, I'm a language arts teacher. Don't ask me why. Like, nobody likes their English teacher, right? I mean,
yeah, it's okay.
If they like their teacher, they hate that class. I mean, what was I thinking?
Yes.
But it was during the time when No Child Left Behind was really ramping up. And really, English was a tough one. For every teacher retiring, there was an equal one to fill it.
Mm-hmm.
They were moving people all over to teach in their core content. I could not get a job. I probably put 50 applications out.
Wow.
In Albuquerque and Las Cruces, even in El Paso.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I loved my little apartment. I loved my life down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't want to move. But the aquatics position, my predecessor, Patty Moran, who ran the aquatics center, she was retiring. And I remember her saying, hey, you really should apply and try out for this job. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, hell no. I am not moving back. I'm not moving back to Farmington.
Yeah.
Nope. I got my degree. I'm going to teach. Thanks, but no thanks. And really, at the time, people were like, are you crazy? That's a government job. And I'm 22. I'm like, what? Does that?
Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. Hand me another beer.
Just kidding. Yeah, but kind
and
of.
So to quiet everyone down, I'm like, look, if it ever opens up again, I'll apply. Mm-hmm. I'll apply. So 3 months later, gosh dang if it didn't open up. They did not hire anyone on that first batch. So I'm like, well, crap. I'm good to my word. Mm-hmm. So I put my application in, and at the time I was in a serious relationship with a guy that I had met down in Las Cruces. And so we talked about it a little bit, and I'm like, I'm sure I'm not going to get it, but I'm just going to apply. I still didn't have a job. He was actually working at White Sands, mm-hmm. and he encrypted all the missions. So he was civilian government, but he had great benefits. I think he was...
important job.
Totally important. And I'm 22, he's 30, he's probably making 90 grand a year. Mm-hmm. I'm just fresh out of college, and I probably should have said, okay, great, thanks for not making me work, but I'm stubborn. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I did not go to college to not try to do something.
Right.
So I applied. I came down in February to interview, and it was one of the first times I had been back in Farmington in a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I met the interview group, it was crazy. There were four of us, and I was very clearly the most inexperienced and the youngest. So I had, there was a guy that was 60 years old, and he had a PhD, and another guy, and he was from Texas, another guy from somewhere in the Midwest, I can't remember. He had like 12 years of experience and a master's. And then there was a woman from like Ohio, and she had 7 years of experience and a master's. And here I am, 22, no
fresh
experience.
Fresh out of college,
and
bachelor's,
I'm thinking,
yeah.
There is no way I'm getting this. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll just enjoy my trip to Farmington. So I enjoyed my day with the candidates and the staff that interviewed us. And I remember driving all the way back. I drove halfway back to Albuquerque that night, and I called my boyfriend, and I'm like, no, I'm not getting that. There's no way, but it was a great experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always good to go through the interview process. So I had a job fair back in Las Cruces the next week. 3 weeks later, they called and offered me the job. And I'm like, what? Seriously? And then it just became real. Mm-hmm. It was weird. At 22, I didn't realize the magnitude of the position I was taking. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to have 8 full-time people, 65 part-time people, $2 million budget. And that wasn't what fazed me. What fazed me is, do I want to leave my awesome life here, mm-hmm. and uproot myself to go back to this town that I don't necessarily have a great feeling about? I don't have a bad feeling, but, you know, I just didn't have... Adversity was all the way through my life in Farmington, and so it was more of an emotional mm-hmm. adventure for me. I'm like, do I really want to do this?
How did you make that decision?
I felt like, you know, everything happens for a reason, mm-hmm. and I thought, I looked at the experience and I thought, why did they choose me? What can I bring back to this town? And so I think for a moment I thought, there's something I can give back to Farmington. My business isn't done there. Mm-hmm. So I remember saying, guys, I'll be gone 1 year. I'll be back. I didn't even move my stuff. You know, I'm like.
Wait, can I just recap? You thought you were coming into this position, an important position, for 1 year, Shauna.
Like, a year.
Yeah.
I'll give them a year.
Like, that's how unexperienced you were
yes.
in that moment.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny. The fourth day on the job, I moved here in March. Mm-hmm. So March 15th of 2004 was my first day back in Farmington. And it was hard. I stayed with a friend of mine. Thank God I still had friends here for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I had a dog, so I could not find a place to live. Transitional housing is so hard here. Mm-hmm. If you are not low income or you're not, you want to rent like a house, you just want an apartment, it's almost impossible to find. And so I got here and I was miserable. I missed my friends. I didn't know anyone here. But I knew pools mm-hmm. and I knew staff. And it was a breath of fresh air. It was a challenge. And my fourth day here, my biggest boss, the department head at the time, came in and he's like, look, I didn't want to sign your papers. It took me 3 times to take it to the city manager. He didn't want to sign your papers either. They both thought I was too young for the job.
So then why'd they hire you?
Well, here's the story. So as it goes, when I came home for the interview, all of the people who still worked there who had watched me grow up, they were like, we want this person.
Yeah.
And so they asked to talk to the city manager and the department head, and they had this big group thing, and they're like, we want her. We know what she can do. We want her, which I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so that was both, I don't know, it made me feel really proud that even as a young adult, that something I'd done in my life made people think that I could do the job right. at that young, and that would want to follow me, mm-hmm. that would want me to come in. And then that was a case in some, and then the case in the others, I think sometimes familiarity, people are like,
we know
fun.
Her.
Little Shauna.
Yeah.
Little Shauna be cute and fun, and, you know, we can carry on. And So it was a little mix of both. It was bittersweet. Some of those people hung around. Some of those people decided we're not on the same page and left with dignity. And it was good. I spent my first year just completely revamping and finding myself too in it. But, you know, I always tell people to this day, everything you do is an interview for a job that you don't know you want or a job that you do want.
Yes.
You can never forget that.
Haley and I have been talking to students specifically about that because students will go and humans, right? We go into a place and we do something or we say something and then because of where we live sometimes, but not always, we run into that person again. And in an instant, that person already has an opinion about you.
Absolutely.
And so is it a good one or a bad one? What did you do when you saw them the first time? You have to take into consideration how you're treating people, you know, especially in a workplace, because there's a really good chance that you're going to come across them again.
Absolutely.
So here's a case where you worked for people and they went, we want her to be our boss. And they advocated for you. Like, that's kind of incredible. Seriously, you know?
At the time, I was like, what? What's going on
here?
But it was good to find that out. I just remember when he was saying, you know, I didn't want you. I thought, there's nothing I'm going to tell you, so I'm just going to have to show you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let me prove my worth to you.
Yeah.
So it was about 3 years later that we had a good joke. You know, the aquatics director I didn't want. It was kind of our joke, but it was great. Yeah. I did that for 7 years. So 1 year turned into seven, and then I promoted up and over. And
yeah, and you have been working for the city now for 16 years.
I know. Oh,
that's amazing. Okay, so
I'm getting old, Brandy.
I'm bad at math. So what does that mean? 2003, I guess, is whenever you started.
I started in March of 2004, okay. So I'm in my 16th year right now.
Got it.
So I will complete it, in March. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it. I'm 9 years away from retirement, my first retirement opportunity.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And your best friend, one of your best friends, I guess, Carol May, retired from the city.
She
and
did.
So I feel like whenever we hang out with you guys and Carol May is there, I love just hearing how ready she was for retirement. And I think, didn't she like re-retire?
She was going to retire, I guess. Was thinking about it before Patty retired, and then she thought, okay, I'll just get this aquatics position filled, and then maybe. But Carol did, I didn't realize that Carol had had interactions with me as a teenager there when I was working. She remembered that, and I didn't. And so she took a chance. She really fought for me, and I know I will forever be grateful to Carol. She is a unique woman, and she put up with me. I was like, a five-year-old, why do we do this? How do we do this? Where can I learn this? And Carol is amazing in the fact that sometimes you, I don't even know what the word is, but you give people the opportunity to grow because you hold yourself back. And she was never intimidated or never felt threatened by my questions or by my eagerness to learn and grow. And she provided me so many opportunities to spread my wings, learn things. I mean, I love to learn new things.
Yeah.
You know, she stayed and worked long hours with me. She let me talk out people problems. She was always there to just push me to go to that next step. And she was proud of me. You could tell. And that gave me a solid foundation. You know, I just remember there were sometimes I would shift my eyes and she'd give me this look like, you're on the right track, kid. You know, just go for it. So
that's cool. We all need a Carol May in our lives.
Yes, we do.
Seriously.
Everyone needs a Carol May.
Yes.
Yeah, she is definitely a special lady to me. I mean,
cool.
She just, I really, so many things. Like another thing she always tells me is it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And one of the things that Carol did for me is I'm such a workaholic. I'm so serious about always getting chores done first and she will show me the fun things of life. You know, she is determined and she's a very sincere and genuine person. So those were great qualities to have in a boss and mentor. And when she retired, there's so many things about Carol I appreciate, but she's so intelligent. And so I really missed working under her because she has that very intelligent side.
Yeah.
And it was always pushed me to look at things differently. And so I missed that a lot when she did retire.
Yeah. And she's been retired, I think, for 2 years now?
Oh, no, like 10. 2 years from Connie Mack. Yeah, 2 years from Connie Mack, but 10 years from her job as the city.
Her.
I know. Like, Carol, what have you been doing out there?
Yeah, I thought she just transitioned over to Connie Mack. So.
She's been, now that's some institutional knowledge there. when Carol leaves Connie Mack for good.
I need to get Carol May on here.
You need to get Carol May on here. I think she knows more about baseball than half of us have forgotten.
I know, and I just admire that woman so much. That's one of the things I admire of her, is that she was able to go in and be, is it called the chairman?
The chairman. She was the first woman chairman.
I know. And knowing her while she was in that position, I was like, I know that lady. Because it's amazing. Because I know what that good old boys club feels like, just from some experiences that I've had. Mm-hmm. And so I can't imagine even what that felt like for her. Yeah. There had to have been some tough moments, and she persevered, and I admire that so much.
And there were some fundamental tournament changes that took place during that she was the face of, and she didn't necessarily, you know, make the decision to have those, but she had to carry it forward, and that speaks volumes when you have to carry something out that you did not decide.
Right.
So.
And own it, and be proud of it, even though maybe, you know,
maybe it was, it was a challenge, or maybe you didn't know. Yeah, absolutely.
So, man, admire that lady.
Go Carol May.
Yes, go Carol May. Okay, so back to you. So you have been 16 years with the city, and one of the things that I know about you is just in the last couple of years or so, you have kind of turned your life into this kind of fitness journey. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to kind of share what started that, and then where that's taking you to now.
Well, I think lots of things. You know, I always tell people leaving college for me was almost like transitioning out of the military. Mm-hmm. And I mean no disrespect to that, because I have high regard for our military. But truly, my life in college, I mean, I had an academic advisor. I had an NC2A advisor. I had a workout coach. I had a coach. I had a weightlifting coach. I mean, you're handled so carefully when you're in the NC2As and at a Division I school, and everything is planned for you. And when I stopped swimming and I did my, you know, you exit interview and you get out of NC2As, I had 30 hours of free time that I didn't know what to do with myself. Yeah. And then I had this new job, and it was a challenge, and I was passionate about it. And I just threw myself into working, you know, 56 hours a week. And so it was like I filled my time, and I didn't pick up a second hobby. And so it was late nights, and then I was engaged at one point, and that relationship didn't work out for me. And then I got into another 8-year relationship that wasn't always good. In fact, it was less good than it was good. But you know, we all learn and grow, and I think that was a growing step for me. But I forgot about me during that process. And so I put on like 90 pounds. You know, I'm 5'1" and I was almost 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was unhealthy and I couldn't sleep. And it was devastating to me. 2014 was a really hard year for me. 2014 was a year that I sold my house because I thought I was going to move. I changed jobs. I found out that I was getting sued by an employee that I had terminated. I lost my best friend, your person, and you're just reeling. Like, those are serious life things, mm-hmm. and I had them all at age 34 in 2014. And I'll tell you, Brandy, I've had some moments in my life where I'm looking at me through my own tears going, am I going to survive this? Mm-hmm. And I have. Every single time I've bounced back. But in 2014, I felt the real pressure of adulting. I thought, how am I... I was exhausted. I had people that I was leading, and I didn't know if I could make it all work. The stress was incredible. And for the first time in my life, I'm like, how? I get it now. I get how people can feel like they just need the world to pause for one moment while they catch up. And I thought it would be different in 2015. I don't know what I thought December 31st of 2014 was going to be, but when I woke up on January 1st of 2015, nothing felt different. Mm-hmm. And I was so disappointed. I thought, why me? Why is this happening? But then I used it as a building year. And as I entered into 2016, I thought, I need to feel proud of me. You know, one of the things my mom said to me when I was really young was, you're just as ugly on the inside as you are on the outside. And it was just this moment of, you know, mother and child, and that stuck with me for a long time. And I think that when you hear things like that, sometimes you believe it and you don't even realize you believe it. And so in 2016, I'm like, I got to change this. You know, people believe in me and they rely on me. And I've spent my entire life trying to bring joy to people and make them feel like they matter, because there was a time in my life where I didn't really feel like I mattered.
Yeah.
And So I did. I started running with my friend Paula. And she was running in August, and I started running with her in October. And 9 months later, I did my first half marathon.
Nice.
I can't even believe I did it.
That's big.
It was really big. And I just started hiking by myself, you know, not being afraid to load up my dogs and go in the car and just go. Mm-hmm. Just get away from work, shut off that phone, take pictures, enjoy nature. And I always laugh. People who know me know that, you know, I believe in God, but I'm not really the organized religion type. You rarely hear me say, I'll pray for you or whatnot. Yeah. I'm pretty shy about that part of myself. But running is my prayer time. It started out as just literally a joke, like, thank you, baby Jesus, I did not die. I ran the length of three houses and I'm still here.
Yeah.
But then as I started running 5, 6, 7, 9 miles a day, it was a time of reflection mm-hmm. and gratitude for me. It was like a time to think about everyone in the days before that had touched my life, everyone that had paused and had caused me to think and reflect on how I said something. Just the gratitude for the air and the stars and my home, mm-hmm. my dogs. I mean, and it really made me a more sincere person, a more authentic person, yeah. I think, which I love.
And
I love that.
And you've been doing that for 3 years now?
Yeah. 3 years.
That's amazing. And I think I love that you have taken it because you constantly are always like, yeah, I didn't get off work until whatever time. And I'm like, lady, like how, you're crazy.
It can be late.
Yes. And so to hear that you were pretty consistently working 56 hours a week, I work, you know, sometimes I work really long weeks with my job and I'm like, the next week, I'm like, I'm taking a day. Mm-hmm. And so to hear you say that it was happening over and over and over again, and you recognize that you needed to do something different. Mm-hmm. That's really, it's encouraging. And I think it's something that we all need to be reminded. Mm-hmm. And so to hear just kind of Then for you to go back and you're reflecting on the day and you're reflecting on people who you came into contact with, like, again, like, that's encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I admire that. Like, one of the things that I see oftentimes on social media is the pictures of you hiking. And I'm like, man, like, this lady is always up in the mountains. But that's why.
It's so beautiful. I think just to, you know, I've had people take me. I've had people take along. I've taken myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Brandy, it's weird. I see these people, and sometimes I listen closely to people, and I think, wow, we're playing the victim card. Mm-hmm. It's so easy, and I can find myself sliding into that. You know, something happened to me, or, oh, this is awful, or, and then I realize that's not the road I want to go down. You know, I really want to try to live in the moment. I think it's so easy for all of us. You know, you read all these books and everything, but the reality is we spend so much time either living in the past and dwelling on things that have happened to us or things that we've experienced, or we spend so much time worrying about the future, what's going to happen to us, where we're going to be, you know, are we going to be able to pay that bill? Are we going to be able to do this? And we don't live in the moment, and mm-hmm. we miss things. We miss those sweet little things, those tiny little moments that are actually shaping us right then and there. And that to me, that is my goal every day. I just try to live in the moment because it is hard. It is not easy to live in the moment. You know, your mind can wander. It takes practice mm-hmm. to do that.
So. Well, so share with us just a little about how you focus in on that, because I can think of, I mean, I've been both of those people, right? About worrying about the future too much. And then somebody who's like, well, this happened. And so, you know, I can't do this because this happened or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So I've been both of those people. I can think of people who are living in the past and people who are way too worried about the future. Mm-hmm. And so help us understand how you do stay in the moment, how you focus on that.
Well, honestly, sometimes it starts at 4:30 in the morning when I roll my seriously tired butt out of bed.
Yeah.
And I throw on those headphones. One thing I realized in 2016 is I didn't have enough music in my life. I'm a weirdo, Brandy. I don't see the world in colors, per se. I see it in music. Uh-huh. For whatever reason, music is so much to me. Music really is my soul, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what. I am a music buff. Anybody who knows me knows it's all genres, all day, every day, whatever. And so I start with that, you know, my music's in my ear. I always have a song in my heart. And then I just try to see people every day. I try to really see them. I mean, we just look at everything so quickly these days, you know, we're on our phones, we're at a red light. And I just try to take those moments to really see people, make the eye contact. I don't know, smile at people, mm-hmm. but you have to quiet the voice in your head. That is the craziest thing. People don't realize we all have this self-talk. We don't even know. It's like in the back of our minds, we have this self-talk, and it really guides and directs what we think, and you have to quiet that. It's part about finding that peace in your soul, you know, where you're like, I'm me, and it's okay to be me.
Yeah.
And that is where it started for me.
I like that a lot. So. Cool. Well, I that's something in the moment. Like, hearing you say that, I'm like, okay, those are things that I want to be very intentional about mm-hmm. doing. And one, I do think that I smile at people, and I always have this mentality that everyone has a story, and I mean, that's why we do mm-hmm. this podcast, right? It's because everyone has a story. Even when they think they don't have a story, you have a story.
Okay, that was me.
Yes.
I'm like, no, Brandy, I'm not exciting. I'm
exactly,
not doing that.
Exactly, but you do, and you have things that you can share with people. And so I think that's one of the things that I'm very intentional about, but and then I, at night, that voice, right, that doesn't mm-hmm. stop is like, you didn't pay attention when that person was doing this, this, and this. And then I can't stop thinking about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of stuff that I have to get out of my head and mm-hmm. just be better next time. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So mm-hmm. I like that though. 4:30 in the morning, you start and you're just sort of intentional about your day. And
I
that's
am.
What it sounds
I
like.
I set my intentions
yeah.
that day. That's what I'm like, here's what I'm going to do.
Good. Cool. So what are you doing now? Because now you still have a big role for the city of Farmington.
I do.
What does that look like now?
Well, so I did aquatics from 2004 to 2011. And then from 2011 to roughly December of 2014, I was a recreation superintendent. So I had the recreation center, Sycamore Park, the senior center. And then I promoted up to City Hall, where I spent 4 years being the Director of Communication and Quality Performance, which was really just a hodgepodge of general government growth for me. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful time. I got out of something that I knew a ton of and went to a very broad spectrum where I knew this much.
Yeah.
And nobody can see this when they're watching, but this much about this much.
Yeah.
And so I was like completely out of my comfort zone. It actually took me 2 years to adjust, mm-hmm. Just to reestablish myself, find my impact to the organization. And it was a hodgepodge. You know, I oversaw the volunteer program. I did the citizen engagement. I was kind of an ombudsman to the mayor and council. There were so many aspects that I engaged in. And little did I know that it was preparing me for what was coming this year, which yeah. was Director of Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Affairs. So now I have the department, and we have 14 divisions. And so if you're playing on a field or in a park or you're in a facility, you know, I think we're the second largest department in the city, right under the police department, and really excluding the electric utility.
Sure.
So
it's huge.
It's huge.
And
it's big.
So just to go back to, you know, the people stuff, you have a lot of people that you make contact with every single day.
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
But you know what? People are my thing. I mean, sometimes I'm all peopled out just because I'm exhausted, mm-hmm. but I try to be there in the moment for people, and I want to be a leader. I've known the difference between a leader and a manager from a very young age, and sometimes when I came back to this crew, the first thing I said to them is I was so humbled mm-hmm. that their faces inspire me, and they inspire me to be a better me, mm-hmm. and that's what I want to do.
Your crew now.
Yes,
right?
My crew now. They're mm-hmm. they're amazing. I mean, there's not one person, division head, part-timer, seasonal, that I look at and think, why are you here? Mm-hmm. These people are passionate, and their drive is amazing, and they do inspire me every single day. When I'm tired and I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? You know, I watch them and I look at them and I think, I'm the luckiest gal in the world to be leading this department. And oddly enough, they're amazing. I mean, they follow me and they support me and they cheer me on too. And
yeah.
that is incredible. I don't know if many people in their lifetime get to, and I'm doing that right here in Farmington.
Right.
You know, that
it's good.
It touches my heart. It's a big
so
deal
good.
For me.
Well, and I, you know, I think about leadership and how important leadership is. It mm-hmm. has to come from the top always. Mm-hmm. And so when there is a good leader in place, there's longevity in that.
Mm-hmm.
So your employees and, you know, whether it's part-time or seasonal or whatever, there's longevity in that. And Haley is kind of a product of this.
Absolutely.
You know, she's been with the city just as kind of seasonal for some years now doing sandstone. But then before that, she worked for the Civic Center doing mm-hmm. theater stuff. And it has always come down to the leadership
mm-hmm.
on what her life looks like day to day.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
No.
And so I think think that leadership is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And for you to even just recognize that the people under you matter,
yeah,
that's important. Because let me tell you, not all leaders think that way.
So that's sometimes hard, but I think people have to realize as a leader, a lot of times you limit yourself so that other people can grow. But in this case, I'm not afraid. And you know, the department's huge. Mm-hmm. It ranges from, you know, golf carts to animals to museums to downtown, economic mm-hmm. development. You know, I don't know everything about everything, but I have amazing people who do. And I'm not afraid to say, teach me, get down there and show me your perspective. And I, one thing about me, Brandy, is I've never forgotten where I've come from. Mm-hmm. And that's so important to me. So I started in aquatics and I remember what it was like to be running a facility and thinking, these people have no idea what I experience every day.
Right.
And they're advocating for me and they're doing the best they can, but I can articulate it better. I can tell people because I'm living this and that feeling has never left me. Good. So when I'm working side by side with the division heads, I want to know what their life looks like. I want to know what their employees are going through because I want to be a better me for them. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to be proud of what the work they do and the work we're all doing together. So
yeah,
it's, I don't know. I just, it's like it reignited my passion. I was not moving at such a fast pace when I was up at City Hall. I did work a fair amount of hours, but for 4 years, my life was the reduction in hours. I mean, I probably only worked 45 hours a week. And so it was a nice time for me to grow in my own personal life. And now I'm trying to find that balance between personal and professionalism again, since I'm back in a much faster paced position, but I do love it. I mean, the people are incredible. I love what we do in Parks and Recreation. You know, people are stressed, Brandy. They work all day. Mm-hmm. They worry. They're worrying about the past. They're worrying about the future. They're worrying about how they're going to feed their kids. But when they come to things that we do, whether it's Sandstone or the museum or they bring their kid to swimming lessons, we bring happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, people leave and they're sometimes holding hands after that. They're cuddling their kid. That's important to me. That is worth all the money in the world.
It is.
It's, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, Haley and I, we just recently pulled up the city's Jolt Your Journey, the list of events. I think it was like 50 things or something. And we're like, we should set this as a goal for the summer.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to try it out.
Good for you.
And I think that's one of the links we can put in this because it's pretty cool.
It is.
I mean,
and I love the people at the CVB, too, that put that on. I mean, Tanya and Ingrid and her crew, Deanna over there, Esperanza, those people, I don't think people realize what they do to bring people to Farmington for us. So I love that our department interacts with them so much.
Yes, yes. And they're totally behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody knows the names that you just said unless you work with them.
Yeah.
And they really are bringing a lot of really great things to this city, mm-hmm. to this area.
They are.
So looking forward to the Jolt Your Journey.
Yes.
Just for going through
definitely
that little bucket
put that
list.
Link in there. And a lot of those things are ours. So yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Come and live the quality of life that we have here.
Yeah, that's cool. So I want to, let's see. I want to make sure that you have shared everything that you want to share. Is there anything else that you would love to talk about?
You know, I think that when I, you know, as I began listening to your podcast and just thinking about coming on here, I love that you're doing this because my passion for Farmington changed. I went from a teenager that's like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this place. There's nothing to do. To coming back and hating it every moment for maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
That's terrible to admit.
No, it's true though.
To becoming an adult and finding a deep appreciation for the things that are beautiful here. The landscape that's beautiful here, the people that are beautiful here, the unique quality of life that we do have. So I think for me, I've been able to be mentored by a lot of wonderful people from here, and I've been a mentor to a lot of amazing young people that I have in the last 10 years been able to have some influence in their life. And I want people to know that, you know, we got to dream big here. We are a small town, and, you know, we don't sometimes think about leaving Farmington. A lot of times people from here don't travel. We don't reach beyond the culture that we have here. And I think it's beautiful when you go out and you get that and you return home and you give back to your community. So
yeah, cool. Yeah. Me too. That's something that I get to say I did too.
Yes.
I went to Texas, moved back, and am able to share those experiences that I had in Texas with folks here. So, and I love that too.
Yeah, me
good
too.
Good stuff. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, Shauna, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with me. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Because I know how busy you are.
You made it easy too. I thought, what am I going to talk about?
Yeah. And you've been talking for a while.
Yeah. Look at you. You know. You got it all coming out of me.
Yay. Cool. Well, thank you again.
Absolutely.
And, I look forward to hanging out and, you know, doing all this stuff with you. So
I know you have dogs now. We're going to hike. We have to.
Seriously, if you can get Haley to hike, takes you to a whole nother level. I don't think you understand how much she hates hiking. She's literally going to hear this and she's going to probably call you or text you and be like, seriously, we're not hiking.
Okay. We're just going to make sure she hears this. We're going to wait. If she texts me, then we'll know she listened the whole thing.
Seriously. We're taking you hiking, Haley.
Haley, pack your bags.
That's right. Well, this has been another episode of Small Town Expectations. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. We'll be right back.